So Mukesh, you will let me know when to start.
Start. You can start, Sonia.
I can see it on my live screen and it hasn't gone live. So Mukesh, you will let me know when to start. So a warm welcome to our program.
You can start, Sonia.
A warm welcome.
I can see it on my live screen and it hasn't gone live.
A warm welcome to our program, The Effect of COVID-19 on Climate Change and World Renewal.
So, a warm welcome to our program.
I am Sonia Olson.
A warm welcome to see it on the dark screen and it hasn't gone live.
Sonia, your YouTube stream live is reverberating. So you need to stop that.
I stopped it. So I'll start again. A warm welcome to our program, The Effect of COVID-19 on Climate Change and World Renewal. And I'm sorry about the complicated start, but you are most welcome, all of you. I'm Sonia Olson, and it's my pleasure to moderate this global online session. I coordinate the Brahma Kumaris activities in Denmark and also actively engage in the Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative. This event is organized by the Environment Initiative in cooperation with Brahma Kumaris Asia Retreat Center in Malaysia and the Awakening Channel based in India. And our program today is dedicated to the UN World Environment Day on 5th June. The theme for the World Environment Day is Time for Nature.
Can't hear.
Today, we will discuss the underlying message of the present time. Most of us are still in a bit of shock about the global lockdown. And our thoughts reach out to all of you who have experienced loss and suffering. Many countries are still in tight lockdown, but many societies are also opening up. And we are all reflecting upon what the new societies will look like. Some call it the new normal, but one can ask oneself if it was normal before, with climate change emergency affecting all levels of society. And today I have with me two presenters here in Zoom, and they will address the topic with a personal angle and a guided meditation. So welcome to Sister Genti and Golo Pils. At the end of this program, there will be an opportunity to ask questions to Golo. If you have any questions, you can send them to me on mail. And I will now share the screen where you can see the email you can send it to. So I hope you can see here. You can send the questions to echobrahmakumaris.org. So we will start with Golo Pils as the presenter today. And we will talk about solutions to create hope. Golo is a meditation teacher and advisor to Brahma Kumaris on renewable energy. Since the early 90s, he has played a key role in establishing Brahma Kumaris as one of the major users of renewable energy in India. He is an experienced presenter and actively participates in the UN climate change conferences and biodiversity conferences. So welcome to you, Golo, and I hand over the Zoom to you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Sonia. I hope you all can hear me. And thanks very much also to the Brahma Kumaris for organizing this event. I just left India recently about 10 days ago with an evacuation flight and reached to Europe. So I was seeing quite life in a very practical way how life was affected by the coronavirus. And I prepared a couple of slides to you in order to highlight a bit what I'm talking about. So I'm trying to share the screen now, and I hope it will work out. And voila. So, and here you can see the spreading of the coronavirus, and it has already reached all over the world. And scientists are trying to create vaccination. It's not sure how fast they will be able to provide one. The public life has come to a standstill, our economy also, and it's a very, very serious situation. As I said, I was in India, and the lockdown there is quite severe, and people are very, very, very affected in their day-to-day life, and the economic disturbances are massive. So our thoughts and our prayers, they reach out to all the people who are working to contain the disease, all the people who are suffering under the circumstances, and those who face losses, and those souls who left us. Coronavirus has come on the forefront, but and little bit pushed aside the news about climate change. And our topic today is coronavirus and climate change and how it can bring to world renewal. So the news from the climate front are very disturbing also. Climate change has not stopped because of coronavirus. And here you can see a graph which indicates the situation on and the different key systems in climate change. These are called the tipping points. And these are all the big, big systems in our global planetary weather. And all these big systems have begun to change. On top, you can see the jet streams. They have begun to change their pattern. And because jet streams have changed, the Indian summer monsoon has changed, the West African monsoon has changed, the El Nino has changed, and the Atlantic circulation has begun to change. We also see the ice is melting rapidly. Arctic sea ice is disappearing. West Arctic ice sheet is also affected seriously. And this contributes to seawater level rise with all sorts of negative effects. At the same time, our biosphere also takes a very, very bad hit. And we can see that many areas like Amazon rainforest, the boreal forests in the north, and the tropical reefs are disappearing or they're burning away. So the situation is very grave. And if climate change and its effect kicks in full force, it will have probably a much more massive effect on humanity than the coronavirus right now. So it's a quite interesting situation. And just to give you an idea what climate change will do, this is a locust infection, infestation, which has started in Africa 2 months ago. And actually, when I left India, I found the first locusts in Mount Abu. And I was wondering where they came from. And then I remembered, and then I read up that the locusts came from Africa, they came to Pakistan, and now they enter into India, and they affecting seriously the crop. So this is one effect of the coronavirus, of the climate change, that locusts are growing and became a real plague. So, of course, there is a spurtle viewpoint to the corona and to climate change. And what we have to understand is that we are in the middle of a karmic feedback loop. What we do has an effect. And whatever happens in the past, it creates the present. So what we see right now with climate change, but also with the corona infection, are actions of the past, which are playing out now its role. So we're dealing here with karma and with actions of the past, which makes it very tricky because we can't change the actions of the past. And we can say that both these events are a warning signal for humanity. Corona has stopped the world, just the busy world with the flights, with the shopping, all these kind of things, which were not good at all in respect for the climate and for the environment. And makes us reflect. Was my life right? What's the purpose of my life? Have I been acting in accordance with the laws of harmony? Corona and climate change clearly show our lifestyle and our economy has to change. We have to adopt a new paradigm. This has become quite clear. The change has to be deep and has to come from the inside. That's also quite clear to us. And this is the moment of truth and change. Humanity cannot evade any longer the situation. It's quite grave, and it brings us to a standstill and tells us, hello, what do I have to change? What do I have to reflect? What actions I can take? But the good news is a crisis is also always a chance for change. So let us see what we can do. And you can see, first of all, we have to be optimistic, because that's good for our mind and that's good for our body. You see, little elephant, a big elephant is being catched by the little monkey, and both are optimistic. The monkey says, I can catch the elephant, and the elephant says, I can catch the monkey. So we have to be optimistic about the situation and stay positive. This is very, very important. And it's very important for also us, for us to use our power of imagination. There was a very beautiful song by John Lennon, and he said, imagine the new and better world. And so our power of imagination is quite tremendous and can move mountains. So we should think and reflect what actually I would like to change, what actually I would like to make better. And we have to start with a better world, and we have to imbibe and go into the depth of words like peace, world peace, inner peace, love, love for the self, love for others, harmony, harmony with the environment, harmony with the animals, perfection, beauty, purity and bliss, prosperity, happiness, timeless and justice. These are all the keywords which we start, which we show visualizing and make them part of our inner world, that we visualize a world which is in a state of perfection and beauty. So this is very, very important, because our thoughts and our emotions have a great power. So now how the big question is how to reach there. And of course, it's quite clear we have to raise awareness and consciousness. We need a drastic change in lifestyle. We have to reduce our carbon footprint, use of renewable energy sources. And of course, we have to become a healer and use the power of our thoughts. And once we become a healer, we heal ourselves. We strengthen our immune system. Viruses cannot touch us, cannot do anything. And then we can use the power of our thoughts to create this better world I was talking about. So I just want to share some points what the Brahma Kumaris is doing. We have an environmental initiative, as Sonia has mentioned before. We go regular to the UN climate conferences. We're trying to inspire people to change their life. And we have the 10 ways to change the world. Respect your heart, live simple, be positive, and so on. And there are many things which Corona is also teaching us right now. Living simple, buy only what you really need to buy. Corona is teaching us also, besides all the tragedy which is causing, it teaches us also many good things. So we are in this environmental initiative, and we try to reach out and inspire people to adopt a new lifestyle from the inside. We also advocate the 5 R's: rethink before you buy, reuse, reduce, recycle, and refuse to follow all the trends and do everything. These are the 5 R's, and if you follow them, you'll become a better person and your lifestyle will become a better one. Of course, we also promote a plant-based diet. It's very, very important to understand that a plant-based diet is a big contribution towards the climate and towards healing of our planet. And it's also quite obvious that coronavirus only could jump from the wildlife, through the wildlife markets, to the humans because of our wrong diet. So if we all shift to a plant-based diet, this will have a very big and very positive effect on our health and on the climate. So Brahma Kumaris is also very active in the field of renewable energies, and we are a recognized research center in India, and we're one of the biggest institutional users of renewable energy. We do research in photovoltaics, solar steam cooking, solar hot water, passive architecture, solar thermal power, and energy efficiency. And here you can see some of our systems. This was a solar steam cooking system, which we built in 1999 in Abu Road. And it cooks 35,000 meals every day by concentrating the sunlight on a receiver and producing low pressure steam. We cook for all these people. This is our hall in Shantivan. Of course, right now we're a bit in a lockdown and the hall is empty, but we have the capacity to cook for all these people. We also have a lot of photovoltaic installations, and you can see here a 50 kilowatt installation in our Gihan Sarovar campus. Meanwhile, we have more than 400 systems all over India, and we're trying to replicate this technology throughout the Indian continent. We work with engineers, we work with the Indian universities, we work with other research organizations, and we've specialized in backup systems in case of power failure, which happens in India quite often. This is our recent project, a 1 megawatt solar thermal power plant with storage. And it was a flagship project of the Indian and the German government. And we are producing 1 megawatt solar electricity. And we have thermal storage, which makes it very special. All the components, all the design was done by our own team in-house. We have about 30 engineers who are working on site. And I was just 2 weeks ago on site, and the plant is running very, very smoothly. And we have done more than 30 training seminars to replicate that technology and teach engineers and bureaucrats and administrators to go into this right direction. And this is the technology which we need, which helps us to protect the climate and helps us to live in harmony with the planet. So now they're coming to the last point, how to heal yourself and how to heal the world. Because ultimately we have to become healers. We have to heal ourselves from the old traumata, from the old karma, but we have to also give an impulse into the world and bring change. So how we can do that? And I would like to share with you the example of our Dadi Janki. She unfortunately left us 6 weeks ago in India, or 2 months ago, I think. And she was 103 years old, and she was a beacon of inspiration. And she was my spiritual teacher for the last 37 years. And she has taught the spiritual way, the way of the yogi. And she was a great example of such a clean and powerful lifestyle. And just to share some of the scientific evidence of meditation, when you meditate regular, it's a very powerful method to change on the inside. And that's what we have to do, because our consciousness and our awareness creates our actions and the reactions. And we have to change the actions and the reactions, and therefore we have to change on the inside. If I meditate regular, science has found out that it increases my competence and my emotional intelligence. It deepens relaxation and improves my health. And that's very, very important. We all have to improve our health and improve our immune system in times of such pandemic diseases. It increases brain cells, activity, memory, and happiness. Most important, it changes the neuronal pathways, and it lets me explore new ideas, and it lets me explore good ideas. And we need good ideas, and we need a new pathway we have to follow. It changes habits and awareness. So meditation is a very powerful tool, and we can say what you think matters, because your emotion, they create the reality. Even science is telling us, quantum physics tells us, when I observe an experiment, I observe it, and the observer influences the outcome of the experiment. It means I am all the time connected to what happens out there. I'm in a feedback loop, in a permanent exchange with the world outside, and I'm not disconnected. I'm part of it. So if I change my inner world, we will also start changing the outer world. So we can say that meditation and a change of thoughts are cooling the mind and create a new reality and a better world. So I hope you have taken some inspiration what we are doing, and got some ideas about our approach towards climate change. Means change the lifestyle, use clean technologies wherever possible, teach it to other people, replicate it as much as possible, but also our approach towards the corona crisis. Strengthen the inner resilience, strengthen the immune system, of course, follow the government rules of social distancing and wearing face masks and so on. These are all the practical things. But help people also on the inside to be so strong that they can go through the crisis. And that's where meditation plays a key role. And I would like to do with you a short meditation for 5 minutes. And I kindly ask all of you to relax and sit upright in your chair and relax your shoulders and your whole body. I am relaxed and I am very peaceful. I take a deep breath and I relax myself even further. I am peace and I am calm. I'm sitting in the middle of my forehead. That's where I am. I am the soul, the being of light. I'm connecting now to the divine light, which is above. In this connection from above, I can take whatever I want. All the peace, all the love, and all the power is there for me to take it. I'm filling myself with all these powers. I'm now focusing my mind towards the world. And I focus towards the nature, the trees, the climate, the water, the earth. I send them my love, my gratitude. Planet Earth and nature has taken care all the time of us. I send you my healing vibrations. I'm now visualizing the animal kingdom, all the animals on the planet. They are my friends. I send them my love. Now I visualize all humans on the planet. They're all caught up in their day-to-day activities, in their fears about coronavirus, in their fears about economic downturn, in their fears where to get food, in their fears about a decaying environment. May you be able to connect to the divine. May you take the power from above. May you charge yourself. And may you ease the karma from the past and become light. I'm now taking the planet in my hands, the old world, and I'm sending love and light to this planet. And in my hands, the planet is changing into a beautiful planet of happiness, of joy, of purity and beauty. We all will live there in harmony. This is the world I would like to achieve. This is the world where we want to go. And my power of thoughts is going to help the divine to make this possible. I'm slowly coming back into this world and this reality. And I hope you all enjoyed the meditation and had a positive experience and could feeling the strength and the love from the divine. And meditation is a very powerful tool to bring this change which we all are looking forward. Coronavirus and climate change are clear signs to all of us. We have to change. This change has to come from the inside. And meditation is the powerful tool to achieve that. I wish all the best for the further proceedings of this conference. Thank you very much to the Brahma Kumaris for organizing this event. And I hand over back to Sonia. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Golu, for highlighting the urgency of the situation and also giving us tools to become change makers and to feel easy and relaxed on the inside. And I will just say again, for those who might not seen it in the beginning, that we'll have a question and we have a question session at the end, and you can send your questions here to echo@brahmakumaris.org. I'm sitting here with my laptop on my side, and I see some questions coming in. So our next speaker will be, our next presenter is Sister Jyanti, who will be speaking about the role of meditation in self-transformation, but also world transformation. Sister Jyanti is the director of Brahma Kumaris in Europe and the Middle East, and also its main representative to the UN in Geneva. Sister Jyanti has practiced intense meditation and spiritual practice for over 50 years. And she's a popular speaker, always putting positive values at the center of the dilemmas of the present times. Sister Jyanti has also been with us at the climate change conferences as the head of our DK delegation since 2009. And she speaks about the spiritual perspectives to climate change. So welcome, Sister Jyanti, and I hand over my Zoom to you.
Thank you. And I'd like to give everyone a greeting of peace, Om Shanti. But also I want to thank the Brahma Kumaris in Malaysia for having organized this together with the Awakening Channel. And today we're looking at a transition period in many, many countries, a transition between lockdown and coming out. But what does it mean to come out, and what will the world be like at that time? We're gradually trying to see how things are going to move and what the future holds for us. But I'd like to bring you back to the essence of spirituality. And maybe in one sentence, a very short sentence, we can say that spirituality is inside out. Whatever is going on inside is what gets reflected outside. And so what's going on outside now? Well, we see a lot of fear. We see a lot of aggression. We see things happening that we don't really like, we don't really want. And so what's going on? And I can analyze the world situation and say, because of injustice, because of racial discrimination, because of immunity breakdown, we have illness, and also the ecological system breakdown has been because we have been violent and aggressive against our home, the ecosystem. So what's going on? In one sentence, it's inside out. And for me, that's the explanation of what's going on, but it's also the solution. So we want you to leave this program today with hope, not with sadness and sorrow that, oh dear, what have we done to our planet? What have we done to ourselves? What have we done to the human family? Yes, we are seeing what we've done to the human family and everything else, but today we're looking for solutions. And it's a very simple solution. Can I sort out what's going on inside? And if I can sort out the things inside, magic. You sort out the things outside. There's a story that had done the rounds many years ago, but I'm reminded of this. A parent was with a child, and the child was wanting to play, and the parent was needing to work. Makes you remember some of the scenes during lockdown, I'm sure. And the parent decided to occupy the child with something quite creative. It was a newspaper, and the newspaper had the map of the world. And the parent asked the child, okay, here you are. It had been cut up into lots of little pieces, like a jigsaw puzzle. I want you to put this together and create a full picture. And the parent sat down to do the work, and the child carried on playing. And within an incredibly short space of time, the child said, I've done it. The parent was very surprised and went across to have a look. And yes, sure enough, there it was. And the whole world map was put there in perfect order, everything in the right place as it should be. And the parent asked the child, when did you learn about the map of the world? And when did you understand how everything fits together in this way? And the child laughed and said, well, on the other side was a picture of a human being. So all I had to do is to look at how the human being fits together, and that's pretty easy. Two eyes, one nose, and so on and so on. And so I just put the human being together, and the world map was put together too. Now, just a little illustration of how, if we can change our consciousness, something else begins to happen. Our inner attitude begins to shift. Try it and you'll see how this works. When I change my attitude, definitely, then other things can happen. But changing the attitude happens through a change of my awareness. And then when my attitude shifts to a positive, uplifting attitude, one of harmony and love and peace, my vision towards people and situations begins to change. And when my vision begins to change, then the way in which I behave, the way in which I respond and behave and act, that changes. And once my behavior has changed, the culture around me begins to shift and change also. And when we change to a culture of one family, one home, one planet, then the next step is that the world changes. My little world changes, but my little world impacts many, many others also. Sometimes it impacts 10, 20, 100 people, but each one of those who are impacted in a positive way will go out and have the same impact on many others too. And so what we are doing is creating a ripple effect and creating change in the whole wide world. And so a message of hope. When I change, the world changes. It's not impossible. It's not ridiculous. It's not out of question. It is an actual reality. And so what I need to do is change my awareness. That means just change the way in which I think. Can I do that? Yes, I can. If I decide to take charge of my mind, to take charge of my thoughts. And so when I see what's going on during lockdown, and now we're coming out of it in many places, but not everywhere, did I use this time of lockdown in a very positive way? I had to spend time indoors with my family. Maybe that's what they actually needed. They didn't need more money. They didn't need more food. They didn't need more devices and expensive toys. They needed me. They needed my time and my attention and my loving care for them. So maybe I was able to do that. So that's a huge accomplishment. Maybe I needed time for myself, for reflection. Well, hopefully I started that. And just as a loving care for my family will continue, hopefully, in the same way, my attention turning inwards and reflecting and being able to learn continually also is a big difference in my life, hopefully. That will then continue further. What else changed? Yes, maybe I learned that happiness is not having an expensive holiday. Happiness is not going to the best restaurant in town. Happiness is not shopping. Happiness is something that comes from within myself. And I can be at home, I can be in lockdown, I can be with just myself maybe, just me and my own company. When was the last time that I enjoyed my own company? Well, maybe now I've learned to do that. So maybe a lot of these things happened. Hopefully they all did. But yes, we face a serious situation out there. And maybe the biggest lesson to learn from all of this is the subject of nonviolence. To be kind, to be compassionate, to be kind and compassionate to myself and to others in my family, but also in Hindi, Karuna means compassion. And so Corona has brought with itself a very powerful reminder that I need to have compassion towards others also. Am I compassionate towards the other living beings who inhabit this planet? We share the same home. Hopefully, I've also learned that lesson. Why? Because when I have plant-based diet, that brings no harm to anyone. It's totally non-violent. And not just plant-based food, but plant-based drinks also. That's again an important factor. And so what happens with that is that as we develop non-violence within our lives, what we're doing is creating strong immunity within our system. We're creating strength within our environment. Non-violence is the key to harmonious living between humans with each other, humans with all other creatures in the world, and humans with the world around us. And if we can live a life of non-violence, we can also have a life which is fearless. I don't need to be afraid if I'm truly, truly non-violent. Again, I'll go back to the Hindi. Nirvair, nirbhay. No animosity towards anyone, not even the creatures who can't scream and shout at me, but also humans, of course. If I can have non-violence and non-animosity, then I can be fearless. I don't need to be afraid of anyone or anything. And guess what? My fearlessness and my courage and my hope will actually increase my spiritual and physical immunity, both. Physical immunity, yes, definitely. Research indicates that. It's not just the pollution in the water and the earth and the sky and everything else that's caused our immune system to come down and leave us very open to attacks by all sorts of viruses, but it's also our spiritual immunity, to have such strength within that I can have resilience, so that then in the future, whatever it is that comes in front of me, I have the capacity to be able to deal with that. And immunity means to be able to be uninfluenced by negativity. At the present time, there's a huge amount of negativity in the world. But can I develop my immunity so that I'm not impacted by that? Yes, definitely. And of course, the key to all these things that I've described is meditation. Why? Because what I'm doing in meditation, it's actually something very, very natural. Maybe I replace the word meditation with another word that's very much part of our language, remembrance. What am I remembering? I'm remembering who I truly am as that inner being. I'm remembering the source of light and love, the one above. I'm remembering what our eternal relationship is, that we are all members of one family. I'm remembering that this is our home, our one home for all of us to live and share and enjoy. I'm remembering that we actually belong to another home, one up above, beyond. So in meditation, all I'm doing is remembering all of these different aspects. Can I do that? Yes, of course I can. So anyone can meditate, young or old, doesn't make any difference at all. So let's have a few minutes of meditation and let's go on that inner journey in which I remember. I remember the inner being that I truly am, a being of light. I remember the being who is the supreme, the divine, the source of light and love. As I remember the memory of the eternal connection returns, and I experience the love, the light, the might. And in this awareness, in this remembrance, I send out these thoughts of love and light to my entire human family, beyond to the entire kingdom of life on this planet, all forms of life. And I send out that light to all the elements of nature, the animal kingdom returns to harmony because there's now a sense of safety and warmth and comfort. Nature returns to a state of balance, and the harmony of humans and nature ensures that there is safety and protection for all. I hold the entire planet in this pure light of love, of truth. And in this awareness, I come back to the awareness of the physical dimension. And as I return, I try to keep this consciousness, this awareness of the eternal being that I am, and my eternal relationship with the human family, and the connection with the one above. And in this awareness, there is kindness, there is compassion, there is empathy. And as a result of this, we create a better world together, a world of harmony, a world of truth, of love and joy. So thank you for this opportunity to be with you all. And my hope is that as we hold this vision of a better world, in this awareness of the better world, and keeping that vision, surely together we'll be able to create it. Om Shanti. Thank you.
So thank you very much, Sister Jensi. It was a beautiful meditation, and I think all of you, all of us enjoyed that immensely. And also for deepening our understanding of the fabrics of spirituality, how it works, relevant to global issues. And it's also highlighting that both the reason and the solution is inside out. So thank you very much. And we have come to the last part of the program, and that is the questions. And I've had some questions coming in here on my laptop. And one question has come from Russia. I just...
No, it's got finished.
So I just have one question from Russia coming in. And what is, that was to Golu. What is your personal spiritual lesson from COVID-19 times? So Golu, that's for you. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. Thanks, first of all, Sonia and Sister Genty, for the beautiful summarizing of this inside-out approach. When coronavirus came, I was in Mount Abu, and India has experienced one of the most severe lockdowns. And suddenly we could not go out, and we could not move. And it was a strange feeling, because I'm used to travel a lot and go around and feel free and can make decisions. I go here and there, and suddenly all this was no more there. So coronavirus brought me to a standstill and let me reflect on my life. What's the purpose of my life? What I really would like to achieve. And it was really what is really important to me. And slowly, slowly, whilst the lockdown was going on, I was going slowly through different phases. First, I was frustrated that I could not move. Then there was a sort of acceptance. Okay, it is as it is. Then came the next phase. What can I do about it? You know, how can I deal with the situation? And then the last phase was, how can I progress? And interestingly, in Mount Abu, what we did is, in the Gyan Sarovar campus where I was staying, all the brothers and sisters which were there, we started to increase our meditation time in order to build up, to strengthen the inner resilience, the connection with the divine, and to create this powerful vision and radiate it into the outer world of a better world, and to give hope and peace to all the people which are going through similar experiences in the lockdown. So basically, at the end of the day, coronavirus has brought me to increase my spiritual efforts. And I sensed also many things which are artificial, which I don't really need. And it's brought me back to basics, I would say, and what is really important. And let's focus on that, what is really important. And it brought me also to become strong on the inside, so I can face anything what happens on the outer side. So that was my personal lesson. Beside many small lessons, these are the major lessons which I had in Corona time.
Thank you very much for sharing. And it reminded me, I just read a newspaper article here in Denmark, and they have made a survey, asked 10,000 Danes what they would like to do different after the coronavirus. And first on the list was that the insight, the realization that people are important in our life. People have suffered here from the isolation more than any other thing, I think. The second on the list was also what you mentioned, that we will, the insight that the slower life is important, being more present, and a simple lifestyle. And the third lesson was that time for nature, to spend time in nature also. And nature also means reflection for many people. As it is World Environment Day, Sister Genty had to go to another World Environment program. So I have sorted the questions that have come to Golo here. He will be with us. And one question, Golo, is that you are a kind of pioneer in renewable energy. You started in the early 90s, actually after you started meditation, to look into renewable energies before many other people did it. I know that Shantivanda had the first large-scale cooker, solar cooker, before many, many other people had. So what was your driving force? What drove you to make this change, both for the institution, but also for the greater humanity?
Yeah, well, the inspiration, that's always a deep question, because you have to dig very, very deep to come to the true motivation and to the true inspiration. But I would say it might be was an inspiration from above, from the divine. And it was a old feeling within me for justice and for cleanliness. And when I came first to India in the 1985, I came first time to India, I seen the environmental degradation, the deforestation, and also some poverty here and there. And on the other side, I saw the incredible potential of the sun. And Germany is one of the countries which embarked quite early on the large-scale usage of renewable energies. And we have since 30, 40 years also research going on. So it was quite natural for me then to think, what can be done? How can I help the country? How can I help India? How can I help the institution? And how can I do something against environmental degradation, but also the poverty of the people? I felt sometimes even pity for the nature because, you know, once trees are cut, they not grow back easily. You know, especially in India where you have such a hot and dry climate. Once you cut away a forest, that's it. You know, it's very, very big efforts required to really reforest it. So that was the motivation. And we started very modest with bringing small solar plates to India, putting them on the courtyard and then a little electric car. And everybody was spellbound by the solar technology that it really works and creates power. And from a very modest beginning, we started to connect with the governments and started to small research projects. The first research project was rural wind and solar power for rural electrification. This we did with the German government, with GIZ. And I built a solar energy house out of mud bricks, means very environmental friendly. We should build, by the way, more such houses, environmental friendly houses. And from there onwards, we started to equip the house with solar energy, with a wind generator, make another project, develop the solar steam cooking system. And then step by step, we upgraded our expertise. And step by step, we increased the size and the volume of the projects. And after a journey of 20 years, we did at the end India 1, which is a very massive 1 megawatt solar thermal power station with a 12 million euro volume project budget. And we completed it successful 2 years ago with the help of many, many people, a lot of input from Brahma Kumaris, a lot of work from volunteers. We're all volunteers. We're not being paid. And the project is a flagship project and a highlight. It demonstrates power generation for 24 hours. And we hope that many, many people will take inspirations from these technologies and replicate it, because that's what the world needs. We need clean technology. We're at the edge of an environmental collapse and breakdown. And clean technology is very, very, very important for all of us to embark on that journey.
So thank you. Thank you. I'm hearing that it's a kind of a driving force would be you wanting to share and wanting to help. And I think that many people can recognize it in themselves. So that question came from India. And now we have the last question here. It's from the UK. And someone is asking, is someone interested in science and new to spirituality? And he's asking, how do you link science and spirituality?
Well, the Indian sages and the Indian wisdom of old days always said that everything is interconnected. It's a very interesting statement. Modern science sort of has separated us. Here are the people and here is the natural world with the scientific laws. And the people and the natural world with the scientific laws, they're not connected whatsoever. That's a very profound statement, but it also has disconnected us from nature, disconnected us from the environment, and has made us separate. Now, if we really look into the latest findings of science, we can see that, for example, in quantum physics, they say that the observer influences the outcome of the experiment. And there have been many other experiments being carried out at universities in USA, UK and Germany, which have proven beyond doubt that our mind and the intention of the mind has a practical, measurable effect into the physical reality. It has been done with many, many experiments with students. They have been replicated, peer-reviewed and so on and so on. So what does it mean? It means our inner world, our emotions and our feelings, they are connected to the outer world. And that's where the area of spirituality and science actually can benefit from each other. Spirituality teaches about the laws of harmony and peace and love and purity. science talks about the physical world out there and how it is functioning. Now we can see that this physical world goes in disorder. We have viruses we cannot deal with. We have an environmental breakdown we cannot deal with. And we can feel that the paradigm has to shift. We all can feel that the world is changing in front of our eyes. That's where spirituality can come in, because spirituality talks about the inner world, how to cultivate the inner world, how to make it better, how to develop peace, strength, resilience, power, and how, most importantly, how to connect to the divine. So that's where spirituality and science actually have to come together. So science can benefit from the wisdom of spirituality, and thus, through the combination of both of them, we hopefully can create a better world. And this is the wish, and all the efforts of the spiritual people and the yogis are focused towards that aim, to bring a change into this world and make it a better place. And luckily, our Indian mythologies and our spiritual knowledge tells us that time is a big cycle and a good age is ahead of us. So nothing to worry.
Okay, thank you very much. For such a beautiful ending on hope and the new world to come. We are coming towards the end of our program, and I will, so first of all, thanks to Sister Jente Ngolo, and I will share some PowerPoints here with some information for you. So here a special thanks to the Asia Retreat Center in Malaysia. And you can see the website here. You can get more information. And online free courses and activities in meditation is available at Brahmakumari Centers in over 100 countries. So you can write to this email in Malaysia for more information. You can also write to the other email we had before. So also special thanks to Awakening TV. Here you have the website for creating the platform for this program. And more information is our environmental website, eco.brahmakumaris.org, and our International Brahmakumaris webpage. And this program will also be available there on the YouTube channels and the website. So towards the last few minutes, I like to share a Green Angel visual meditation with you. So I say thank you from my side, and stay safe and stay green. And I thank you to all. Now we'll do a new share with the meditation.
Settling into meditation, I reflect upon humanity and all living beings as being a big green tree. I see the vitality and the life force in this tree of life. I send my thoughts deep into the roots of the tree. I connect to the seed of the tree and I let my thoughts become as still as a seed. Stay here with my mind for a while, enjoying the quietness. as the seed of my thoughts starts to grow, I feel the responsibility of supporting the tree of life. I decide to remain a supporter of this new growing tree of life.
Thank you for this program and good evening.